This is a time for renewal of strength. If you need your strength in God renewed, if you need physical strength or emotional strength renewed, just come up right now. Stand right here as we continue to worship the Lord. We're saying to God, we run to you and you make us strong. And many of us have run out of strength. And God today doesn't want you to get back to that point right before you ran out of strength, so that you can say, well, at least I'm not out of strength anymore. But he wants to renew your strength to make it new again, so that all the strength that you have available to you, all the strength that has been presented to you that you've ever walked in, is yours again to touch you, to help you, to empower you. Many times when we're going through difficulty, through challenges, or when we've even been productive for a long period of time or worked hard in some intense situation, we just run out of strength and we need it renewed. We need our strength renewed. And we're saying to God, God, if you renew our strength, it will be complete. The things that we do ourselves do not make us as strong as the things that you do for us. And we're coming to you, Lord, and we're asking you to renew us, to renew our strength, to renew our power in you. Lord, some of the things that we're facing, some of the things that are ahead, will not be so difficult if we have strength. But if we have no strength, we will fail. And we will not be able to bring about any good fruit. The Bible says those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. And that waiting is active and it's filled with expectation and it's filled with hope. And it's a special position where you are saying to God, I'm looking for you. Come. It's almost like waiting for a bus at a bus stop. You only wait there if you know the bus will come. You only wait for God because you know he will come. You only wait for him because you know he does come. He does come. Lift your hands up to the Lord and just say, Lord, I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting for you. My hope is in you. I've come to you, God, for the renewal of my strength. You can make me strong. You can give me power to complete what I have not yet completed. You can help me make a firm decision because your clarity, your renewal of strength allows my yes to be yes. My no to be no allows me to be firm in my decisions and to carry out what you put in my heart and what you've shown me to do. Lord, you said in your word that we should stretch out our 10 stakes to enlarge our borders, and that will require new strength and power. And so we ask you, God, for just that, for new strength and new power. And Lord, I pray in the name of Yeshua that you would drive away every lying spirit that will tell us you can only get back to that place you were at, where you were almost wasted and in despair. It is a lie. It is not from God. The truth is, God is going to pour out his spirit on those who wait for him. And they will become, the Bible says, like eagles who rise up because they catch the uplifting power of the Holy Spirit. It's not that they flap their wings so hard and make so much noise and exert so much effort. It's that they get into the place where the Spirit lifts them up. It will be that way with you. Lift up your children now, Lord. By the winds of your Spirit, lift them up. Blow off weariness, we ask, Lord. Blow into us the breath of life, your life-giving spirit. Send your word to us, Lord. that heals us, that directs us, that corrects us, that empowers us, that encourages us, that admonishes us, that even rebukes us and gets us right again. Thank you, Lord. Often do this as a congregation on Shabbats, but right now let's just sing a little in the Spirit all together, because the Bible says that the one who prays in the Spirit builds himself up and speaks to God. Two different ways that the spiritual language is given to us. I want to spend a few moments looking at just a few verses that are in the Torah portion for this week. Deuteronomy 23, verse 3 is where I want to start. And I want to read this, so I'd like to ask you to turn with me in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 23 and follow along with me. Your translations may be just a little bit different than mine, but that's okay. And an Ammonite or a Moabite shall not enter the assembly of the Lord, even to the tenth generation. None of his descendants shall enter the assembly of the Lord forever, because. Now, this because, I think, is really important, because it tells us that this is not some arbitrary decision. This is based on something that's happened, something that the people of Ammon and Moab have done. Let's read what it says. Because they did not meet you with bread and water on the road when you came out of Egypt. So this is the first reason. They didn't meet you with bread and water, and because they hired against you Balaam, the son of Beor from Petor of Mesopotamia, to curse you. So there's a specific thing that they neglected to do or refused to do, and that was to bring bread and water to the children of Israel as they were making their way into the promised land and were to pass through the territory of Ammon and Moab. And the second thing is they hired Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse them. You see, they felt like Israel was going to go to war against them. That's what their real motive was. That's what the leaders of Moab and Ammon thought. And so they decided that they couldn't have a military victory against Israel because of Israel's superior spiritual power and superior numbers. And so what they decided to do was to hire Balaam to curse Israel to reduce her strength. And that's not all that they did, though this is a summary. There are a few other things that they also did. They used their women to seduce Jewish men and to seduce them sexually in order to lead them into worship of their gods. So their purpose was to cause the Jewish people to come away from God. It was not just a military purpose, it was a spiritual purpose. And God makes it very clear here that he would have no part of Balaam. Look at verse 5. Nevertheless, the Lord your God would not listen to Balaam, but the Lord your God turned the curse into a blessing for you. And if you remember the story of Balaam, he tried to curse Israel, and the Lord kept putting into his mind and his mouth blessings. And he spoke those things against his will. Blessings, because the Lord your God, look at this, because the Lord your God loves you. You shall not seek their peace nor their prosperity all your days forever. The Moabites and the Ammonites were two of several people groups that were forbidden in intermarriage to the Jewish people. And so this stands as a very important passage, because here it's telling us that these people are forbidden to us, right? And it explains why they're forbidden, because they are under a curse because they tried to curse. You remember that promise to Abraham? Those who curse you, I will curse. You see, the ones who try to use spiritual power to curse others actually come under the curse of that very same spiritual power. And God is saying to the Jewish people, I will protect you. And this is one of the reasons why the Jewish people are forbidden to practice the ways of the supernatural that's not related to God. So any activity that is connected in a spiritual way, in a spiritual world, or in any kind of supernatural mechanism or manifestation, anything that's trying to connect to the Spirit other than the Spirit of God is forbidden the Jewish people. That means such things as reading the stars for your horoscope. It means Ouija boards, fortune telling. It means a lot of stuff that's tied in not just with the New Age, but with other false religions as well. Other religions that rely upon connecting with demonic spirits, even if they're not named as demonic. That's all forbidden to the Jewish people. But what I want to focus on right here is just this very simple thing. If this is the law, then you would think that it applies in every case in all situations, wouldn't you? Because it's so absolute. You must not receive any of these people. But if we turn to the book of Ruth, and you can do that, you don't have to, but I just want to refer to it. We have to consider that the book of Ruth is in our Bible, and it says of Ruth that she was a Moabitess. It names her as a Moabitess, and even after she remarries, after her widowhood, she remarries in Bethlehem, a Jewish man, even then she is called Ruth the Moabitess. And forever she's known as Ruth the Moabitess. So I want to contrast these two things, that book of Ruth that's in our Bible and this statement. And I just want to show us something, because it's important to understand that God will give to us clear parameters, and he will give us sometimes explanations about those parameters to help us understand the spirit that's behind it and his attitude that's behind it. So here in Deuteronomy 23, Moses is saying, in the name of the Lord, the Ammonites and the Moabites you can never connect with. They're just forbidden. Don't marry them. If you have a child by them, even for 10 generations, which is really just a euphemism, which means forever, they're not even allowed into your synagogue. Don't let them in the temple. Don't let them in the sanctuary area. Don't allow them among you in your assemblies and your gatherings. They're forbidden. And don't seek their good. And there's a reason. They tried to curse you, and they did not provide food and water for you, bread and water for you. This is the reason. And, you know, the unspoken reason, which we all know as well, but you know, because it's spoken of elsewhere in Deuteronomy and Numbers and in the New Testament even, is that they also seduced you away from God. And for these reasons, you cannot intermarry with them. And then we have the book of Ruth, which is all about a Moabitess who intermarries with a Jew. And I want you to see something, that book of Ruth is in there to show us how someone comes out from curses, and how someone comes out from the penalty of violating certain laws and embraces God on God's terms. So it's just a simple thought. It's something that you can mull over in the days and the weeks ahead, but because it's in our Torah reading, this passage, and because we take Torah seriously, we have to ask ourselves, is this just a contradiction, an internal contradiction in the Bible, or just be dismissive, for instance, of all the laws in the Bible that we can't often make sense of? But I don't want us to have that attitude. I want us to have another attitude. I want you to learn to see the Bible as a whole. to understand that it was given to us in a level of completeness and fullness so that we can draw from it all that we need. This requires one thing, and that is that you read the whole Bible to become familiar with all of it. Because it may in one section have a word that has certain conditions about it that may not even be clear to you until you read another section. And the Bible is not written chronologically as a narrative. It's not written legislatively as law in a strict sequence encoding. It does have a sequence to it that is greater than chronology and greater than the order of laws. And so you have to become familiar with that. But I want to encourage you to pursue every effort that it takes to read the whole Bible. If you have not read the whole Bible, do what it takes in this coming year to read the whole Bible. Because you will find as you read the whole Bible not just once, but over the course of your life many times, and you see parts of the Bible that you have not read before, or you have not, or you've neglected, or you couldn't understand and apply, you will discover riches that are available for you that can make quite a difference in your life. So, consider Ruth the Moabite. She married this Israelite who moved to Moab. He died, and then she sowed something that's instructive to all of us. She made the cause of Israel. She made the cause of God, the God of Israel, her own cause. She dedicated her life to God and His cause. And His cause was the Jewish people. Because through the Jewish people, He intended to bless the whole world and to give light to the whole world. As the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the covenant-bearing people of God, He wanted to use the Jewish people and continues to want to use the Jewish people in order to give guidance and in order to bring the light of Messiah and all of God's light to the whole world. So Ruth sought the good of Israel, and in this way, she removed herself from the curse and the ban which God had imposed on Moab. God used Ruth the Moabitess in the second marriage after her first husband died. She married Boaz, and remember she gave birth to Obed, Yishai, you know, who was the father of Yishai, who was the father of David, King David. So God used her, this Moabitess, this forbidden woman, He used her in order to develop the people of Israel. Now, if you are if you were not born a Jew, but you married a Jew, let me speak to you for a moment, because I want to congratulate you. You can shake your wife's hand. If you have such a wife, you can congratulate her. If you have such a husband, you can congratulate him, and you can say, you did well. You did well. You did well. Isn't that good to hear? It's... Oh, you're saying you did well. You mean like you did well because you got me. That's what you're saying. Yeah. No, you did well because you chose God. And because without you, I would be in real trouble. Oh, there's a little different slant on it. Yeah. You see, God used Ruth, in a sense, more than Boaz in order to develop the Jewish people. Because the line flows through her in a very special way. The curse that was over her people was removed from her because of her faithfulness to the Jewish people and to the God of the Jews. That curse was removed. And then she was singled out by God because of her commitment and dedication. She was singled out more than Boaz. Boaz was an instrument of God. Don't mistake that. He was an instrument of God, but what God was doing is He was bringing Ruth into the line of Israel in order to develop Israel. And that is one of the messages of the book of Ruth. So I want to share that with you so that when you're reading something like this, you can assemble it together and not just make sense out of it, but take something useful for it, because God can use you to bring other people out of curses too. as you come out of any cursed area of your life or of your people's life, you know what? God can use you to make a blessing on someone else's life. That's my prayer for you this week, that you will be removing yourself from every curse. It's possible through the power of Yeshua, resurrection power. It's not just an antidote. It's the power that gives life to the dead. And because of that, you can remove every curse. Yeshua became a curse. He hung on a tree. He received not just the physical pain of a crucifixion, but he received all the spiritual pain of bearing the penalty of your sin, my sin, and the whole sin of the world. That immense pain and all the curses, he took it on himself, and then he had victory over it for you and for me. It's just not a matter of making verbal pronouncements and saying, okay, every curse is broken. You got to move in a certain direction. Ruth didn't say, I break in the name of Yeshua every curse over the people of Moab. And there wasn't like an intercessory group that said, we pulled down the power over Moab. It's defeated. She made her life a prayer. She made her life worship. She, day by day, consistently chose for the Jewish people. And do you remember what she said to Ruth? I mean, what she said to her mother-in-law, Naomi? Don't you beg me to go. Don't you tell me to leave you. Because where you go, I go. You can't get rid of me. Your people are my people. Your God is my God. Where you lodge, where you sleep at night, I'm going to sleep. And where they bury you, that's going to be my cemetery too. That's what she said. Now, that had power because she lived her life consistent with that. And that was the beginning of the curse breaking over her life. And she became a blessed woman, used by God, had a whole book about her included in your Bible and my Bible. There's no book about me in the Bible. No book about you. But there's a book about her. Because God wanted you and me and everyone else to learn from her story so that we could see, as we read in Deuteronomy, what a bad situation she came out of and why. And what a good situation she came into and why. And from that we learn a great deal. Let's keep pursuing the Word of God. Let's keep reading it. In a few weeks we'll be introducing a new Bible reading plan that will help us stay on track. We'll continue to read the Torah, the Haftorah portion, and holiday portions as they come up in the natural order, the normal order in the Jewish world, and to that we will add daily readings from the rest of the Tanakh and from the Brit Chadashah, New Covenant scriptures. We'll read a little bit every day in addition to that, so that if you follow along in the course of a whole year, you can read the whole Bible with just a little bit of effort. And if you can't read the whole Bible in 1 year, do it in three, but do it. Whatever it takes, get it done, so that you know more of what the Word of God says, so that more of its light can shine upon you. Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you that you do defeat curses. You do give us a way out of every curse, and you have a way for us to live a blessed life in obedience and submission to you. That's the kind of life we want to live. We want to say, Lord, you are number one. We want to serve you. We want to make our lives really count. And so we dedicate our lives to you and to ministering to your people. In the name of Yeshua, amen. Let's close with Aaron's blessing. Would you gather together with friends, with family? If you don't have any friends, you don't have any family, it's all right. Gather together with somebody else. Nobody's standing alone. Nobody's standing by themselves. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ye'er Adonai p'nav elecha v'yichunecha. Yisa Adonai p'nav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep watch over you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his peace in the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom.